Hello and welcome to Season 4 of the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
This podcast is all about elite distance running in the UK.
We're here to give you all the latest news updates around the sport,
as well as weekly interviews with athletes and coaches.
Stay up to date by following us on Instagram and X at Sunday Podcast.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel too, where we post athlete workout videos, shoe reviews and more.
Thanks for listening, and as always, we hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, hello, welcome back. I'm sure, as you can see from the title of this episode, you want us to get straight into it. And as normal, or as whenever I remember to anyway, I will put a timestamp for Canova in the description for this. But we do have to chat about London Marathon. And obviously that leads us nicely talking about Emil Kores later on as well. But Matt, it seems like it's been a while now, mate. We're recording on Friday the 26th. London seems like it was long gone.
Well, yes, because pretty much was, wasn't it? But we thought we'd better wait for that Olympic team just to see if there was any drama. And there wasn't. Away from London, we'll just quickly summarise. Rose Harvey ran a 71.59 half, and that's enough shape shown to the selectors. So she is now on that Olympic team. So congrats to her. Deservedly so. I think she was next in line, wasn't she, basically? So the team's... team's done. It's been picked. And obviously Emil Kores and Mohammed, the two men joining. And I think obviously we'll start with London and their performances, two slightly different performances and how they went about it. Emil and Momo ended up finishing a lot closer than perhaps we all thought pre-race. But we mentioned in the preview that I think for Mohammed to debut in 208.42, was it? And that to be in Valencia, and I did think in his halftime, I think that was what was, you know, low 61 minutes. You're kind of thinking, well, you know, gets the fueling right, takes everything he learned from that first marathon, like 208.10, like that was well within his grasp. But 207 low is fantastic. And now we're looking at the pair going, Mohammed and Emil going, Jesus, what are the next 3-4 years going to look like for these boys?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think it was just the times that were impressive. I think it was the fact they were third and fourth across the line at London Marathon, which we have not seen British athletes get up there in a long, long time, you know?
Oh, that was bonkers.
And good fields as well. It's not like these were weak. It was...
Yeah, I think, to be fair, yeah. Amazing fields. Always London is amazing fields, but... I just can't believe how many like Ethiopians and Kenyans and stuff just like go with it knowing they can't hold it. And none of them interested in like picking up some minor place prize money. And I'm pretty sure there's clauses in their appearance fees as well. They need to finish to collect their appearance fee or, you know, I think they only collect like half of it if they don't finish. So I'm just like, why? Like, what's going through these people's heads? And, you know, and again, I think Emil and Mohammed were shocked to know that that's where they were in the race. But you know, they both make, and especially Emil made a good point. Like, you know, he came third. He doesn't really feel like he came third. It's huge to get a Brit on the podium. But I think, you know, going off with those men, being competitive and battling and sort of overtaking guys late on and pulling away from people, that would feel like more of a third place finish rather than kind of what happened. Where he just kind of, I mean, at 1 minute I was watching and he was in 10th, and then a mile later he was in third, and I was just like, what? Mm-hmm. And literally all of those blokes just pulled out at like mile 22. it was baffling, but it was good to see, of course. And now we start to, you know, wonder in the next, you know, how many years will it be until we see a Brit actually sweep London?
Yeah, and it's obviously something we can hope for. And I'm sure we will see some fantastic performances from Emil Kores and Mohammed in the future. Obviously, I don't want to kind of take away from their performances at all, but I think one thing we have to chat about as well is Mark Scott. In his debut, it's something that we've been kind of, not us specifically, but everyone on the British distance running scene has been building up for quite a while. What did you think of it, Matt?
Mate, I thought, you know, again, he didn't really have a choice. I think, and when I say a choice about what speed he could go off at. Like, he just, you know, you announce you're going to go to the Olympics, he wants to qualify for, well, you announce you're going to try and qualify for the Olympics. And obviously, for Mark, that's doable. And so he just had to go off at that speed. it was a little bit quick early. Like it was definitely, it was inside to, it was a few times. It's kind of 207, 30. He was on four. I just think that's a bit too ambitious. That would have had to be a really good day. You look at Sessman, who, like, okay, on paper, he hasn't got the times that Mark has, but one thing he does have is he's a very experienced marathon runner now. He's going to, he was going to the best races, the fastest courses, and he ran dead even, 64-64 for his 208 low. And Mark didn't take that approach, and I think he paid the price. And he still got it home, finished the race. But again, yeah, like, and Mark doesn't care if he ran 2:09, if he ran 208.12 or 2:11, like he did. For him, it's still off the mark, and he's still going to have to now, change his season, shoot for the 5K, which he said he's going to do. Beat the 10, just more opportunities in the 5. And then obviously, like, we'll probably see him in another marathon end of the year, or maybe next year as well. So I think he was unfortunate with kind of the pacing. His approach was kind of get time in the bank, which I think for your first marathon is maybe a bit risky, but I think he just had to take the risk, didn't he?
Yeah, that's it. Because I think, well, he could have ended up doing like what Mohamed did in Valencia, but obviously you don't have another shot. So I think you're bang on there. Like it's not ideal, but what choice did he have if you're going to try and make that team, you know? So yeah, I'm sure he'll be back. And he's definitely someone that in the next, what, 5 years, I still think he's got a place in the marathon. It's just interesting to see kind of how that kind of career unfolds from now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him is, from speaking to him, he's actually got 20 odd weeks of training in, at a decent volume, and that's a start. But when you compare that to the likes of Emil and Mohamed and Sesman, these boys have almost got, an extra 18 months of marathon specific work in them. And Jesus, when we talk to Canova, he talks about people not preparing properly for these marathons. And he's never ever seen a miracle in endurance running. Nothing is by chance. And actually, it kind of hits it home. It's like, crikey, like, even 100 mile a week, Canova sniffs at and says, you're never making it as a marathon runner on that sort of mileage at the elite level anyway. And so I think, for Mark, I think the encouraging thing is he's got that training banked now, and he just needs to continue.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, on the women's side of the London Marathon, not quite the, I guess, Olympic title race or Olympic qualification race that we'd hoped for perhaps 6 months ago. But a great story from Mari McLennan, kind of getting that top British female spot as well. So great run from her, and another one that I think in the next few years, I'm sure she's going to join that kind of building roster of British females who are kind of getting close to this top level.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's encouraging to see new women step up to the marathon, and take it on, and now we'll be able to see how they develop from there. But yeah, obviously not too much to write home about, on the British side, because those two spots have already been taken, and we knew Rose was going to be doing the half. So, but the elite side, Jesus Christ, that was a fantastic race. I mean, elite men's was a great race. I mean, to see Bikili and Minyao go head to head. I mean, would have loved it if Miao just let him win and Bikili can take that one and go down as the greatest ever distance runner. But to be fair, on the women's side, like, it was a race, and that was some serious women contesting, for the title as well.
That's it, and it is a female only world record. Like I think we mentioned this in the preview. It seems astounding that they hadn't beaten that 217 mark previously yet. Considering the runs they've had in mixed races, but again, it just shows you how much harder it is to do in that sort of race, and obviously the environment where you're not necessarily able to push the whole way because it gets tactical. In terms of Bikili, though, I think well, anyone who listens to Canova Pod, I think Canova definitely hints at him being the greatest. So I think he could have run wherever he wanted to at certain times in his career. So.
Oh boy. Yeah, we'll let you enjoy Canova's words on Bikili for yourselves. We certainly did. But I think just before we dive into that interview and that episode, it's worth just wrapping up a few things that have happened over the last 7 days as well. Josh Kerr, 145.9. It's a good opener from him over the 800. Shakira King, Jesus Christ, 202 for 800. She's the fastest 15-year-old ever. You start to think, bloody hell, like, you know, I know we've got Kaylee, Boffy, you've got so many talented, Riki, so many talented 800 women. You start to think, God, if a 15-year-old's running 2-2, like, I know it doesn't always pan out that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how long is it? You know, if she's even 18 and she's running 158, that's exciting. And then, Diamond League was, kind of went under the radar a little bit, just given it was a big weekend last weekend with London and everything like that. I think Brits were a lot more focused on that. But Hussey ran the 8 on 46, and Burma wins a 5K 12:58. So decent, and pretty much all the same people are running in Shanghai. I mean, Gidey might be going for world record in a women's 5. And then, mate, I'll just finish up. Podium Dulwich was a fantastic event. As always, those podium events, it was free pizza, free beers after, like, very sociable after the race. Like, I just absolutely love it. And I just think it's so, these events without our, like, you know, I guess people might be listening and think, oh, we're being biased. But genuinely, like, if you are a distance runner, like, they are just such good fun. Like, you go there, you smash out your race. There's three, four races, bish, bash, bosh. Then you're in the cafe after, you're having beers, you're having pizza. And, like, you know, and they're a high quality standard. I mean, on the women's side, Perez coming over, and we have four women break 16. On the men's side, it was one in 14:09, 14:10. And then you had a whole host of men flocking inside sort of 14:20. Decent standard. By the way, though, Dulwich, I don't know where this whole, it's the fastest course came from. It was undulating. Some of it's uphill, and then one side's uphill, one side's downhill. So I wouldn't say it's that fast, but yeah. And I met some great people who were giving Lum a bit of shit, so that was always good.
Yeah, I'll try line up in future. So anyone who finds me too moody, I just think, whoa,
you're the Roy Keane.
Excited about in terms of athletics these days.
Mate, you gotta be excited about Canova. That was this is a mega episode, and to give people a bit of context, reached out ages ago through friend of ours, Miles Edwards, and he kind of put us in touch with a few local Kenyans, who then put us in touch with a few more local Kenyans. And one day I got a call off a random Kenyan, and I answered the phone. I said, this is a funny number. I answered the phone and hello, Matt. And he's like, right. He's like, I heard you want to speak to Canova. I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, he's next to me. And he just passed the phone over, and like the signal's shocking. And I'm just like, blimey, like, what do I say? And I just, yeah, hello. And then, yeah, finally arranged it. And this was about 5 weeks pre-London. And we would have loved to get Canova on pre-London, but he said, nah, no chitter chatter until post-London. I'll go through everything. And so, yeah, it was great to have him on this week. And talking of going through everything, I'm sure a lot of you have seen, he's just slapped up like all of the Mills training on Let's Run as well. So we kind of get his take on that.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you who are used to us kind of chipping in podcasts, be warned, this is more of a presentation from the great man Canova. Matt and I couldn't get a word in edgeways, and nor did we need to. He just kind of says it all, spills it all. So just enjoy that. I think Matt put on Instagram, get your pen and paper out, take some notes, especially for those of you who are kind of using this maybe to plan some of your own training. And also Renato does talk about kind of inspiring people, really, because I think he makes a point that I think we've made a lot on the podcast. I don't want to spoil it, obviously, but he makes a point about kind of the marathon. Potentially, you don't need to be the most talented. You can get to a very, very good level by kind of developing that engine and developing your physiology and just being kind of mentally strong and believing in yourself. So enjoy this episode. We certainly did, and we'll catch you very soon.
Physiology is a experimental type of science, is a deductive science. So can only explain what already happens. So don't think that can be like an inductive science. Inductive science is mathematics. If I have to create a rocket for going around Mars, I have the calculation before. So I go to calculate what we have to do, and if everything is okay, the rocket can work. But physiology is not like this. And this is one of the big problems when we speak, for example, about the topic, because everybody has a type of experiment or with an amateur, with people that are very far from elite and don't know really what the training for an elite athlete, very well training, can change in his own physiology. So it's difficult to put together the two things. But you study one subject, and the final you want to have a reference with another type of subject that is different. It's like to study apple, and when you speak about orange, it's the same thing. So, for example, about Kevin Kiptum, you think that it's possible to speak about science? When he died and we went in his village, he didn't have a house, he didn't have a freezer, he didn't have anything. Do you think that in this situation it's possible to speak about science? The science was that his coach, that was not really a coach, was able to put in the mind of Kelvin the possibility to run 300 kilometers per week, like already we did with many others 40 years ago or 45 years ago, with the difference that many of these kilometers were practically very fast. The difference with the past is that the long run now become faster, not every time, but I give you an example. 4 weeks before the world record of the marathon with Wilson Kipsang, at the end was 2:03:23, We went for 40 kilometers at 2,000 meters of altitude in a place called Nangili with the same time, 2:03:32, practically. That period I considered 6 seconds per kilometer of difference, of whom 3 seconds for the altitude, because for this type of athlete there is not a top, big difference, and 3 seconds for the situation of the road. We are rough road with a lot of stones or something like this. So 6 seconds means 1 minute every 10 kilometers. It means in training, running 1:59:30 in 40K in training 4 weeks before. That is a marathon, full marathon, 2:06. So how much is the percentage of speed when you run 2:06 if you are able after 4 weeks to run the world record in 2:03:23? The percentage is 96%. So, training for a marathon, the first step is to be able to use a higher percentage of your aerobic power, practically, something that you need years for doing this, for building this ability. Because now we have also advantage comparing with many years ago. Because many years ago we didn't have the specific maltodextrin, that start to come in athletics in marathon from triathlon. Practically, we didn't have shoes, but also about the shoes. I don't want to be very particularly against the shoes. Of course, there is some advantage. But in 2012, for example, I have one athlete, not a phenomenon, good athlete, Jonathan Mayo, running full marathon in 2:04:56, running five times half marathon between 59:02 and 59:27 in the same season, using Mizuno that were less than 1 centimeter also in the heels, with Moses Mosope that ran 2:03 the first marathon and after 37 days, beat the two records on track of 25 and 30 kilometers. We looked for shoes that were exactly the opposite of the shoes of today, because the reactivity was in his tendons, in his calves. So for doing this, we needed the shoes very hard and with the practically the surface also very, very hard. What is the difference? It's not too much in the speed today. Is in the possibility to save the legs. For example, for athletes going to Boston and that could knew could know the final party. No, for many years we saw athletes winning Boston or in top three arriving with a wheelchair because we are not able to run to walk. One of these was Catherine Deleva. Catherine Deleva for three times won Boston, for three times arriving there in the wheelchair. Now finishing the marathon, you see people that go on the bus. Okay, a little bit tired, but it's no more like before. So this is the big advantage in training for running more of the competition that of the shoes that we have now. So the most part of what the big company says is propaganda for amateur. You see also that when you have shoes like the last of Adidas, for example, Evo, no, and the cost for a shoe is 500 euros, and they can last maximum for two marathons, is practically a little bit difficult to look at these shoes like commercialized, because who is that? maybe you need to be a millionaire, no, for buying the shoes, and after 100 kilometers you need to change the shoes. So is there are many situations today. Difference from many years ago, there is a lot of propaganda because of the social around every aspect of running, but I can tell you that the most part of this is not true. Not because I am almost 80, but I have a way of thinking of many years ago. But the most important mental attitude for a coach is to use common sense. There is nothing of new, because running is running. And more long is the distance, more important is the specific type of situation that you can go to create. But you need to change not only the physiology, but you need to work on the mind. This is the most important thing. Because if I speak with a new athlete and I tell him what the top athlete can do, he never starts. Because I start to think, I never can do this in my life. But if you take an athlete after 1 year and you write everything of what they do, and you ask him, go to see what you did 1 year ago and what you are doing now. Going in this type of volume, this type of intensity, with a very, very soft graduality. So what we call the internal load remains the same. Internal load is practically the level of effort that you can do for every type of training. So first thing important, different athletes that do the same type of training really do different training, because the internal load is different. And this is also the reason, because many times there are three athletes training together doing the same workout that we can see. And after, when you go to competition, one is able to run 28 minutes, another 29, and another 30. Because the one that the level of effort used in training for the athlete for 30 was maybe 95%. For the athlete for 28 was 80%. So when you continue to increase your aerobic power, what happened? That the level of effort after 6 months can be for running, for example, at 3 minutes per kilometer, is exactly the same that you used maybe 6 months before for running at 3:10. So your 31:40 compared with the 30 minutes is exactly the same thing. It's not different. And this is what the athletes need to understand. No, is wrong going in very short time in a different level, because in this way you increase also your internal load. So you are doing another sport in a short time. But if you use common sense, that is to the art that that needed to grow in sensibility, in personal feeling, and also an art that can tell you, my feeling now is, you know, that sometimes there is the question between 1 and 10, how much is your level of effort? And you can say, okay, my level of effort is 8. Okay, and how was maybe 1 year ago for running very much slower? Was 8. Okay. So for you, nothing changed in your physio, but the external load, that is the performance, changed the load. So the first thing is to have a patience for this and not to put a limit in your. I always say that to the athletes, don't let your mind to decide, let your body to decide, because 95% of times you are able with your body to finish a workout, no, that before starting you suppose it's not possible to do, no? And every time you do something that you suppose it's not possible to do, you have a small stair, no? And you increase more your self-confidence. So what is important is how we can build the self-confidence of an athlete. Because self-confidence and self-esteem is not without this, you can't be a winner. You can't be a winner. Another thing is athletes and coaches need to know the history of athletic. Very few coaches instead know the history. Maybe they know the history of the last 5 years. No, I give you an example in United K. Do you think that it's possible that with athletes in 1985 running under 330, we speak about the Steve Plum, we speak about Sebastian Coe, we speak about Ovet that was not under 330. So in the top 10 at the end of 1991, top 10 in UK, in 1500 meters, that for them is the most important distance, no, for UK, mile and 1500 meters. So the number 10 was an athlete for 332, number 10. 1991, this one. In 2011, that was 20 years later, the number one was Shane, that is also a little bit a shame for UK, but it was a guy called Shane, running 3:36.22. Not one athlete in 20 years was able to go in the top 10. So it's clear that there is some mistake. And instead of telling that when the athletes, the Europeans, started to run slowly, that was the period between 90 and 2010, practically. African won because of doping, because also the African in the last, in 2010, were weaker than the African of 1990. Sure. So we didn't have at the end a new Kano. We didn't have somebody of a top athlete, a top talent like this. Sure. And but there was more professionalism, there was more money, so there was more selection, there were better way for coaching. But when we speak about talent, no, I think that no one now has the talent of the athletes of 30 years ago or 40 years ago. The system changed. The opportunities are different. Also something in the last time, somebody can really suppose that Cheptegei is stronger than Bekele, running with these shoes, running with the lights, no, like a Pacers, running in this way. In my opinion, in a competition when there was the best Bekele with the best Cheptegei, the difference at the end is the 5 seconds, because Bekele doesn't want to run faster. But there is no match between the talent of these athletes. So the same like Haile Gebrselassie, so we don't have somebody like this. In Göteborg, World Champions in 1995, he finished the last 200 meters under 24, 23.8. Now, there are no athletes, maybe the most part of them, that are able to run 23.8 in 200 meters. So it's really different, you know? There was an evolution, of interest and evolution also in the methodology. And the evolution was based on the fact that we reduce a little bit the big volume, general volume, that there was in 1980, 1980, 85, 19, before 1990, practically, no? Increasing the average speed, but not too much. So now we don't have athletes running maybe 350 kilometers per week like we had in 1980. Also, for example, speaking about marathon, Gerindo Bordin, the Italian champion of Olympic in 1988, sometime arrived at 320 kilometers. Instead, the other Olympic champion that we had, more like Italian, was Baldini in 2004 in Athens, never went more than 240 kilometers. So, and normally was around 220. No, but if you reduce too much the situation, thinking that you can be one of the top marathon runners in the world or the best absolutely with 120 kilometers. Never, because it's not part of this. Look what happened in UK, speaking about marathon. Why I speak about UK? Because athletic started practically in UK. So it's the country with the more tradition that we had for this. Speaking about marathon, the first world record holder for five times in ever to improve was Jim Peters, that was a British guy. After this, we have athletes like Ron Hill running 209 already in 1969. We had Ian Thompson running 209 and winning European Championship in 1974 in Rome. We have especially Steve Jones, that was ever alone in Chicago to go almost in the world record of half marathon without a rabbit, no? 61:53. And after finished completely drunk in 2:07:13, no? Failing for 1 second only the world record. That world record that was from a European, Carlos Lopez from Portugal, no? So with all this tradition, do you think possible that in 2003, the top marathon runner of UK was a woman, because it was no men were able to run faster than Paula Radcliffe, 2:15:25. So instead of looking at the other, no, creating because there is no memory, no. So if the best is 2:15, when you run 2:13, you are already one home. And this is what happened in the United States for the marathon, because the last years of a marathon were disconnected from the knowledge of maybe the athletes like Rogers or something like this, that were able to run 2:09 with all the shoes or something like this 40 years before. So it's not possible. It's not possible. So it's to create limits in their mind for the performance, but it's also to create a limit in the possibility to grow with the type of training. And this is not possible. So why I tell that is important? Because if you know what happened years ago in athletics, no, and so you know better the all-time list, for example, you see that for running 144 in 800 meters, you are not a phenomenon like many things today. You don't need to have maybe some doping or taking people, because you are not in the top 100 all time, not top 100. In 5,000 meters, not top 100 under 13 minutes. So we need to give a different level to the performance. For me, an athlete running 1250 may be a champion if he's able to win the competition. I had in my life 9 athletes running under 27 in 10,000 meters. These 10 athletes, the real champion were 2. So, athletes have been winning. Nicolas Temboy, practically, not the second of my athletes, 26-38, that was practically Abdullah Hassan. Well, not Abdullah Hassan, because changed also the name, but was Albert Chepkioui, practically. Was a big athlete, but not a top champion. Nicolas Kemboi had the possibility to be a top champion. always a meeting. No, Eirik Brasilas in meeting of 2003 in Brussels. No, the difference was 20 centimeters between Eirik and Nicholas, because Nicholas did some mistake. Also, attacking in the turn or something like this. If he's able to wait, I'm going to win. No. And the other in the middle of mine was Moses Mosop. That, in any case, was not a specialist for this because it could be one of the other marathon runners the same level of Kipchoge. Was not at the same level, the education, the brain, or something like this, but under the point of view of talent, we had the two. All the other ran 26:50, 26:52, Imane Merga 26:46, Ethiopian, you know. And we are number 5, 6, 7 in the competition. I had a athlete, Thomas Longoziwa, ran 12:49, but arriving number 5 in the same competition. And after won bronze in a Olympic, good athlete, not a top champion. Top champion is something else. Top champion was Shahid. And we saw the difference. I was the coach for about 2 years of Kenenisa Bekele when I started to run marathon. I spoke with him and I asked him, Kenenisa, tell me, why your world record of 10,000 meters was so poor? And he told me, what so poor? You never prepare in 10,000. Sure, because one athlete like you, 12:37, need to run 26 minutes flat or less. With the difference, the famous difference is double over 5K plus 1 minute. No? Many things like this. And it's already not true because it needed to be a percentage. But look at my athlete under 27 minutes with a record of 5,000 that there is. Nicholas Kemboi, 13:01, 26:30. So the difference is practically 28 seconds with the double. Albert Chepkirui, 12:56, 26:38. John Corir, 13:09, 26:52, only for telling something. Instead, who, like Mark Bett, 12:55, 26:52, was there in the range of 1 minute or something, never prepared 10K, around 26:52 without preparing. No. So, at the end, for an athlete like Bekele, if he had to prepare 10,000, the difference with a double over 5 could be 40 seconds, 45 maximum. So 12:37 practically is 25:14. It means 26 flat. And Ed, he laughed and he told me, yes, you have a reason. I won 10,000 because it was easier for me. But the 2 times that I attacked the world record, one time I was sick and one time I was out of shape. So when we speak about the freak of natures, these are my Bolt in sprint, is another thing. It's completely different. I saw Bolt 16 years old in Kingston in World Junior Championships beating all the athletes in 200 meters that were 3 years older than him. So when I saw him running, I told, I started to think, this guy became the new record holder of 200 and 400 because I never supposed 100 meters for him, practically. No? So when you see somebody like this, it's not that you need to speak about doping for running so fast, like many can do. Doping is for the second, they want to try to arrive more close. Because the difference is so big, it's like now Duplantis when we speak about Paul Bolte. The difference is so big that you are doing another sport. You have, and this is when we speak about the absolute talent for every type of practically of event. It's something that, but normal coaches, normal athletes, amateur, but not only amateur, also very good athletes, don't accept the idea that there is somebody that has a gift from God that the other can't have. But this happens in everything. In everything. Happens for the who plays piano, practically, and not everybody can be able, and not everybody can be Rubinstein, practically. Happen for everything. Not everyone can be Pavarotti when you go to a singer. No? So We need, and I don't understand why, when we speak about running, everybody supposes that for arriving at the top, the only thing is only the will that you have. And you are training, and everybody thinks to be the best talented, the best training, and the most serious athlete that there is. So for justifying who arrived 3 minutes in front of him in 10,000 meters, the only solution is doping for the other. And instead, there are limits for everybody. The real question is, one that doesn't have this talent, can we advise one person not with this type of talent to use all the time, all the motivation, all the practically the will that I can have, no, like a top athlete, for reaching the same level of intensity is not possible, but the same level of volume. Cioè, you are an athlete for 30 minutes. You are not practically relative to for an athlete for 26, absolutely. So there is a sense, no, a common sense, that you want to run 250 kilometers per week, and for going from, is it the right way for moving from 30 till 28 to 30? But 28, 30 can justify to have your life for 5 years or something like this, completely dedicated to athletics. Which advantage you can have then, apart the satisfaction, you see? Cioè, we have already this type of mentality with athletes that for European are top. So if you are an athlete marathoner in the market of marathon, do you think that there is some difference if you run 210 or if you run 207? There is no difference. In both of the cases, you don't have a contract with any company. In both the cases, you don't have a ticket, only maybe for going to compete in a marathon in some place. So if you are 207 and you can run 205, there is a reason. But if you have an athlete for 210 and the maximum you can run 207, 208, do something else. So you prepare for this, you go for a marathon in China, if you are able, where there are good places and it's possible to win with the 210 to 11, not today, but maybe still 2 years ago. And you don't dream, practically, that you want to go in a major in Berlin, in Chicago, because it's faster, because somebody beat the world record. The course, the fastest course is in Italy. But the record of the race is 2 hours 32, because the first prize is 1 kilogram of coffee. You see, so the race is who is the fast race? Because Chicago, for example, is less fast than Berlin, and Berlin is less fast than Valencia. But if you find the Kelvin Kiptum in this shape, Chicago becomes the best. When athletes tell me, I want to go Berlin because it's fast, and because there are 100. For example, $150,000 of a price. Yes, but it's not for you. It's faster, but it's not for you, because $150 is not for you. There are the top athletes going there, trying the world record or trying to get $150,000. You are not in this type of community. You are different. So the first thing is to dream a little bit, but also to be more linked with the reality. Otherwise, the next situation is the full frustration. And the full frustration, when you dedicate years and years for something that never can happen, practically, and can bring the athletes to very bad situations.
Plenty of questions, man. There's a lot to unpack there. I think we wanted to just sort of ask you, you know, you've obviously learned a lot over the years, and you've got some great philosophies around training and the mentality as well. But but how you started out, because I think a lot of people won't necessarily know that, because you were a decathlete at first, and then you learned, you know, like you just said about the research, really.
So how do you start? Also, the first thing you need with a young athlete you need to work very, very easy, step by step, for growing a little bit. Never something good, because every time you do something, like I told before, no, you do something that you never did before, no, is a conquest in some direction. So fundamentally, first thing, training is the answer to some stimulus that you give to the body. Okay, so the stimulus are in our events practically in two directions, or intensity or extension, but not or, because the two situations are connected. No, look for example a pyramid. If you wanted to have the pyramid higher, the top, you need also to have the base more wide. No? So this is a normal mathematics, two similar triangles. This is the situation. So we can't increase the intensity if we don't increase also the base. And this was the big mistake of British the coaching for 20 years more, 1995 to 2015. Everybody understood, because for example, George Kerr ran also a half marathon in under 62, no, for this. And last year, a secret that nobody really knows, but was Emil telling me this, because we are together in Leeds, and told me that he ran an 800 meters in 145 with about 55 the first lap, 50 second the second lap. So I tell you that this George Kerr never can be beaten by Jakob. In Britain, I told now, remember, Jakob is better than go for 5,000 immediately. Because one ever running 800 meters in this way can't be practically, the way of running of Jakob is in a full progression, but with the progression, you don't put a gap, you don't create a gap with the George Kerr. Could be a Timothy Cheruiyot, like in 2019 in Doha, that went for the first lap in 52, but it's not the system for Jakob. So if you go for progression, you never can beat an athlete able to do something like this. Basically. So this is for looking what happened. And with this type of speed, I understood that the base for running more in this direction is also to have a more aerobic power. So was the reason, because he ran 10 half marathon. Jakob himself says that his best event, in his opinion, is a half marathon. Oh, I don't think, me and you, but he is what he has in his mind. And what happened? I give you an example, practically. When you want to improve every type of distance, you need not to start from speed, you need to start from extending what you are already able to do. Example, you are an athlete that in training you go for 10 times 400 meters in 62 with the 1 minute recovery. At the end of this workout, we go to take a lactate and we discover, for example, that you are about 14 millimoles, okay? So, we go for 1 month doing something else in training. We increase a little bit the extension of a long run, every type of long run. We go with a very fast sprint, maximum speed in uphill, so increase the specific strength, and that is important. And after 1 month, we go again to repeat the same workout, 10 times 62 with 1 minute recovery. But at the end, it's no more 14 millimoles, but it's 12 millimoles. Oh, I ask you to arrive to 14, and you go yet for maybe other two. We come back about the idea of internal load. So it means that after 1 month, 12 times 400 in 62 with 1 minute recovery is exactly like a load, no physiological load inside your body, exactly like 1 month ago, 10 times. So it's clear that you are more resistant, because you were able to extend what already you were able to do. Now, I ask you to maintain what I maintain two values, cioè 1 minute of recovery and 14 millimolars at the end. I reduce to 10 times. I go back to 10 times. You are 62, no more 62, but you can run at 60.5 with the same internal load. So every time extended what already you are able to do, you increase also the possibility to run faster in speed. We need to understand what is speed in a middle and long distance, because pure speed is something maybe 60 meters, 80 meters, something like this. This is something that has a physiological effect, because we go for recruiting the higher percentage of fast fibers that we have, but doesn't have another effect technical. Never there is a connection when the final speed for a marathon runner and the fact that he can be able to run 60 meters maybe 2/10 faster. There is no connection. It's a physiological reason because we do this. So the speed for a marathon runner, which is 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, need to be able to run faster there. The speed for 100 or 5,000, maybe I need to be able to run 400 meters a little bit faster. No, this is the situation. For 800 meters, my speed is to increase a little bit to 200, but it's not so much important. No, it's important that I maintain the same level of 400, and maybe I am able to on the other side, to run maybe 2 seconds or 3 seconds faster, 1,500 meters. This is what happened. And this is the reason, because in the development of a career, more many athletes starting for something short arrive till 5,000, 10,000, maybe some of them also marathon. No, not everybody can do this. Not everybody. The typology of athletes that are fast, 800 meters runners, are not able to arrive, for example, to a 10,000 meters or a marathon in their career. Instead, the typology that is resistant, because we have this type of two different typologies of athletes for every distance. Every distance. In 400 meters, we have the fast that is coming from 200 meters, like Michael Johnson, for example, before, and we have the resistance. Juan Correa was resistant, was able to win in the same Olympic 400 and 800 meters in 1976. No. And this there is in every event. Co was like 800 meters, was a resistant, because it was a 2-point Olympic in 1500 meters, practically. No. Also, if he didn't go for something longer, but because he was not interested, but because there is also things to do. Wilson keep the care, no? The Kenyan become Danish, no? For 800 meters. In my opinion, could beat also the world record of 1500 meters. But we can't see everything under a technical point of view. Because in that period, every time he went for 800 meters, he received practically an appearance of between $20,000 and $30,000. And if he wanted to run 1500 meters, I needed to go for zero. I had this situation with Shaheen for myself. No, because Shaheen, not yet world record holder, but he had normally $10,000 to $15,000, no, in every competition of people. And in Ostrava in 2003, he wanted to meet El Derouche. And I remember that we spoke with his manager, no, and the manager told me no, because in Stipple they offer him 15,000, and in 5,000 nothing. And at the end was Stephen, not yet Shaheen, but was Stephen Charon, not yet, no. But told to Ricky Simpson, told no, Ricky, you don't understand. I don't look for $1,500. I look for El Derouche. I want El Derouche. So he went there, won with 12:48, beating El Derouche for free. Sometimes there are many situations. Not If you go to see the personal best of athletes arriving and in their maximum of career, you see something really strange. So look, for example, Eliud Kipchoge, the personal best in half marathon is yet 59:20, the first half marathon of his life. He ran 59:50 in the second half, beating the world record. But what a if there are the mathematics that try to look something physiological coming from numbers is a problem. I tell you an anecdote about 1972. There was a group of British physiologists that decided to investigate in which age, every age, a man practically can have the best reactivity, the best speed, the best situation for the muscles and everything. And many people go to look for athletics because athletics, different from other sport, has a measure, the possibility to measure what happens. So what they did? They went to see the finalists in all the Olympic after the Second War, so 1948, 52, 56, till 1972, practically, and with the age, with the days also. So 20 years, 252, 3 days. Look, everything. And after the final results was that the average age was 21 years and half, something like this, practically, you know. And they went to see that under the physiological point of view, this is the best age for a sprinter. The problem is that they didn't know anything about athletics. And the athlete in that period, there was not a professional athlete like today. But the most part of sprinters came from American University, something like this. And this happened for the United States and happened for Jamaica, that we had the two practically with the most part of results. And after this, without money, practically, when they finished university, 21, 22 years, they needed not to look for running. They needed to look for surviving. So they went for some job, something like this. No? If they didn't consider the social situation that there was like a parameter for the numbers that they went to analyze, practically. But if they knew athletics, could know, for example, that in the American relay for 1972, winning, no, the third athlete, Mel Pender, was already 37 years old because he was one for 10 years not competing because he was in Vietnam. They could know what happened with the Olympic champion of 1964 in the 400 meters, Mike Larrabee. This guy in 1952 was 20 years old. And arriving in the trials, American trials, number 5, so was out of the relay. That period was not possible, like now, to have a rows of athletes and you could also change. No, needed to be 4. The 4, no, from the beginning to the end. So, went for degree in the university. In 1956, he tried again with maybe 6 months of preparation and was again number 5. In 1960, was again number 5. In 1964, decided to take 1 year only for training without work, okay, and become the Olympic champion, 32 years old, individual with 45 flat. So now we have sprinters that are almost 40 years old. So it's not possible what I say, to look at the methodology, to look at the result without looking what there is around. And this is something that coaches, especially young coaches, need to understand. Too many times, the level of coaching, the type of coaching is connected with not a propaganda, but with the specific events. Example, Bozakowski. Juri Bozakowski in 2004 became Olympic champion in 800 meters. And he has a training for 3 months, always in indoor. So somebody started to say, hey, for running fast 800 meters, you need to have the indoor. No, he needed to have the indoor because Russian people never went in altitude, never went outside, and Moscow was for all the winter in 30 degrees negative. So if you are not in indoor, you don't do anything. When Rudisha won 2008 and 2012, Rudisha never put one time, also for casualty, no, 1 foot on a track, indoor track, never. So we need to use what we have. We are in Kenya. We have up and down everything. We don't use too much gym because when you go for running, long run or something like this, is already a natural type of gym. You are in a big town, everything is completely flat. You need to increase your strength. You go to the gym, practically, no? So we have the ambience has a very important role in the development of an athlete. Is and you need to do what you can there. I remember an athlete, a sprinter, no, in Italy, years ago, very young, was strong, really, and was the track more close to him was 120 kilometers. So he never went on track, never was in the gym, was in the mountain. No, so we look at to you have some maybe timber or something like this. Okay, this is for shoes. You can do this type. So, and at the end, he tried to use what he had because there was less facilities, there were less facilities, but something more that we don't have in town. So it's important for a coach to have also some imagination. When you need to also another thing, coming back to middle distance, long distance, I normally never use 2 times the same workout on track. Why? Because I know that athletes normally, especially for African, they remember what they do on track because there is a precise measure, but don't run the total type, the total volume that they do. Instead, I don't want that an athlete can look too much for only for this type of workout. You run 10 times 1K in 3 minutes, no, with 100 meters jogging recovery, in a total volume of 80 kilometers per week, because it's possible. And at the end, you run maybe in 10,000 meters, 30-30. No? After this, next year, you run 150 kilometers, practically, so the base is very much more wide, and your training is again 10 times in three, the same as before. You are 30-30, become 29-30. But you don't consider all what there is. You only for looking for this, practically. You know? I don't want that they can continue to have to compare what they did already before, because you compare also a type of shape in your mind, no? And because normally in training you never reach 100%. What happened that if you use 100% instead of 85 that you need to use in training, you are able to repeat the same workout, but for example, you are not able to recover. No? So we need to look all an example practical for this. In Italy, Alberto Cova was the best 10,000 meters runner in the world in a period between 82, become world European champion, 83, the first edition of world champions, 84, won Olympic, 85, won the World Cup in 5,000 and 10,000 meters. 86, he was second European behind the other Italian, Stefano May, that now is the president of the Italian Federation. And psychologically started to suffer because he was unbeatable for himself. And for all people normally in 10,000 meters, already for them was unbeatable. So at the end, when he started, because he had the last lap in 52, 53, and the other way are not able to do something like this, no? He He had an year, 87, completely out, very bad. 1988, because he was only 30 years old, was in Olympic. We go to Olympic, and he had his coach, that was also the coach of Francesco Panetta, one of the top coaches in Italy, Giorgio Rondelli. We are in Seoul, and he did a workout that he used before and was the best workout of his life in using the same thing. And Giorgio was very, very happy, telling, hey, he's coming back, he's again a champ. At that period, we had a hit of 10,000 meters and final, not the direct final like today. In the hits, he went out with a 28:48. What happened? He, before, was natural, no, without pushing too much his level that he reached. That time, in his mind, he needed to convince himself that was in top shape. So he went for the competition against himself, no, for what he did 3 years before, and was able to do, but was another thing. So training is for filling the tank. Competition is for using the fuel that you put in the tank, not the opposite. So we have many situations where we need to use the common sense. Sometimes athletes coming from an injury say, now I go to train to try to top athletes, you know, to train 3 times per day because I had to recover. What do we lose? No, you can't recover anything. Because if you normally, if you can do in 1 month training 3 times per day what normally you do in 3 months, it means that normally you are an idiot. So it's not possible to do this. So we need the body, everything, need to respect the time for growing. We can go using a good training, high level for what our shape at the moment, and after relax a little bit for the super compensation. And this is the way for going ahead and continue to grow. If we want to force the natural time, no, of our biology, our physiology, something like this, we go for having new injuries and never we can have good results. I never saw any miracle in my life. And my life of coaching now is 55 years. That I'm also more, 16, practically. No? And I never saw one time, never, in our events. In other events, like for example, high jump, I saw people remaining for 30 days without something specific and do something else. And after they have the explosion of nervous energy, no, jumping the personal best, and after for 1 month, they are like a battery without any energy. No, that is possible. But for endurance, it's not like this, absolutely.
And that's a wrap on part one with Renato Canova. Fabulous episode. I'm sure you guys will agree. Make sure you stay tuned for next week's episode where he starts to talk more in depth about how he met Emil Caress and how his training has developed over the past couple of years. Catch you very soon.